Welcome to the Bifocal Podcast with John White and Jason Himmelstein, where we talk about business intelligence and the Microsoft stack with news, interviews, and expert opinions from around the space.
This is episode 233, recorded on August 12th, 2022, live in Dallas at 365 EDUCON, where John and Jason go over the August 2022 Power BI updates, which include conditional formatting for data labels, mobile formatting now supports text box visuals, DAX editor improvements, and more.
Hello, Jason. How are you today?
Hi, John. I'm doing great.
You're very clear today. You've got a nice high-resolution camera or something.
It almost feels like I can reach out and touch you.
You almost could, but please don't.
Or buy you Chick-fil-A,
you
know, one or the other. In person and everything.
This is nice.
It's becoming a habit, John.
I know. This is good. This is getting to get out more and more often, and I certainly appreciate the ability to do it.
I was able to get you to come to Texas.
Texas. It's... Yeah, we always do talk about the weather. It's really warm here.
It is, John. It's hot.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, that's what we usually call it here. Right now, it's only 90 degrees. And as we're recording this, it's like 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Normally, it's way hotter by now.
Yeah.
So you're having
sure
it mild.
Sure was on Monday. It was brutal on Monday, but yeah.
And on the plus side, the conference center is metal and reflective. So, you know, you get that heat glow coming off the building.
You guys have like temperature extremes because on Monday, I swear it was like 110 outside. Nah. But inside, it was about, I don't know. I'm going to go with freedom units here. So I think it was about 15 degrees.
Yeah, the room that we had, my fingers did go numb a little bit after a while.
you literally gave one of the attendees the shirt off your back. Well, it wasn't on your back.
It was not on my back.
It was your shirt.
Yes. Although I am considering going downstairs. There's another conference going on here at this convention center. It's a bodybuilding show, and I'm feeling the need to go and show them what a real dad bod looks like. All these people who are all ripped and buff and no.
Yeah,
let's show you what a real dad bod is. Or not.
I think it's probably best to avoid doing that.
You know, I don't need to get arrested here in Dallas. You know, that's just not something. Like, taking off my clothes in public is probably...
Yeah, that's not...
Although they are running around and barely anything down there.
They are. But I think they're allowed to because it's the thing.
Oh, fine. I did complain to the conference that they tried to double book me. And
Is that what it was? Yeah, so, I understand.
But that's okay.
Well, yeah, we're here. It's the last day of the 365 EDUCON conference in Dallas.
Yeah, we're getting ready to do our last session here. And, John, this is a great show. I really enjoyed it. The attendees here have been fantastic. Yeah, 365 EDUCON does a great job.
And yep.
I'm appreciative of them for it. And, in fact, we are going to be doing another show for them in Dallas.
In Chicago,
in September.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing a keynote.
Apparently. Someone thought it would be a good idea to have the two of us doing a keynote.
I don't know who, but they did. And we're going to be doing it with our good friend, Wes Preston, who is a Power Apps expert. So it's going to be a full...
Power platform. It's PWR EDUCON, to be sure, right? Yeah, it's not 365 EDUCON in this particular case.
But it's going to be good. It's lots of cool stuff happening around that time, and I'm excited. It will be good. It'll be just after the Jewish holidays, so I'm skipping the workshop with you, unfortunately, because I'll be in synagogue, but you're going to be doing the workshop there, and I fly in. And then we're doing like six sessions in a in a keynote. So
it should be fun. I'm looking forward to that too.
So let's preface by saying that's where we're going to be. There are a whole bunch of shows going on in the September-October timeframe. Places that we're going to be in Orlando, we're going to be in Chicago, we're going to be in Branson, Missouri.
That's right.
For a North American Collaboration Summit. I'm really looking forward to that one. That one, unfortunately, at the beginning, we thought it was unfortunate. It's the same time frame as Microsoft Ignite.
Yep,
but what we're doing there, in addition to in-person sessions, is we're actually going to be doing some viewing of Ignite and talking about the content that's getting announced there. So we're going to have a bunch of Microsoft folks who are going to be on site. So if you're looking for an in-person experience, then you're not going to be able to get in. If you're listening to this right now, likelihood is you're not getting in to the in-person Ignite.
We'll be able to hang out with a bunch of other people like-minded and watch pre-recorded sessions on a screen. So it'll be just like the Ignite that's happening in Seattle.
Exactly. So now, to be fair, it is a hybrid event, but they're capping it at something like 3,000 people.
That's what I heard.
Makes it so it's going to be a little bit hard to get into that. You know what's not hard to get to?
Branson.
Branson,
Missouri.
And it's going to be a great time. So make sure you come out and check that out. We'll drop a link in the show notes for that event.
If you can. That is always a good show. It's the last time it's going to be held in Branson.
Yeah, I've heard that before. We'll perpetuate that lie until proven otherwise. He's saying it's the last time that we're doing it in Branson. I love it when it's in Branson. It's a great spot. October in Branson is lovely.
It's really nice, yeah.
This episode of the Bifocal Podcast is sponsored by Tigraph, the award-winning reporting and analytics platform for Office 365. Get the full picture of your Office 365 network by using Tigraph. See how customers leverage its actionable insights to better understand their organization's usage, collaboration, and adoption patterns. Try Tigraph today. Sign up for a free trial at tigraph.com.
John, we have a bunch of Power BI news, man.
We got a little bit of it. Well, some of it. We got the update. We got the monthly update for August.
We didn't think we were getting one?
You should know.
I had heard that we weren't getting one in August. Boom,
then
here it is.
Then it shows up. Well, it's not a big one. There's some good stuff in it.
So let's talk about quality over quantity, John, because you know, we're going to get a bunch of quantity coming up soon, and I'm hoping that the quality is super high.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of stuff. If you go look at, you know, so Alex Powers has the app out there.
Yeah.
Right? The Release Notes app, or the Release Plan, excuse me.
The Wave Plan, done up as a Power BI report.
It's an app Power BI you can app, install yes. in yeah. your tenant. You can go out and take a look for this. We'll put a link to the show notes and link in the show notes to this as well. But if you take a look at September, huge, huge number of things that are supposed to go in there. Whether there are or not, who knows? Like, there may be things that slip. That's just how this works.
Yep.
But it's sort of the end of this wave, right? So I believe October starts the new wave.
That's right.
So there's a lot of stuff that has
so we've got to bring it on home
a little bit.
I imagine they want to bring it on home just to be able to show it at Ignite.
Yeah. So like September looks like it might be a big month. We're going to start looking at that more and more. I use that tool all the time, John.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Okay.
I go into it. I pop it open. And I go, when people ask me, hey, has this been released? I just go search for it in that tool.
Gotcha.
It's fantastic.
That's cool. I need to use it more often. Well, we've got it set up in our
tent. We do have it set up in our tent. It's really terrific. So I'm a big fan. Alex does great things. He's actually going to come on the show.
Oh, is he?
He is.
Oh, you've talked to me. See, all these things.
We just have
in the dark
schedule
now.
It. Yeah. No. Alex is fantastic. He's a good friend, member of the CAT team, and just fascinating guy. He likes to Power Query everything.
Okay. Wow. Who wouldn't?
You know, so he's going to come on and join us to have a conversation about that. But for right now, we want to talk about the Power BI August 2022 feature summary.
Yeah.
And let's just dive right in, man, because the first one I think is really nice.
I think it is. Yeah,
I'm a big fan of conditional formatting.
Well, it's conditional formatting for data labels. So up until now, you haven't been able to do that, and it doesn't really make sense. Wouldn't it be nice if you can get yet another visual indicator of the status of your data points on a line chart, on a bar chart, you've turned on data labels, which is great. But how do I know if that's a good number or a bad number? Well, you can use conditional forming for it now, and you haven't been able to up until this point.
It's yet another KPI-like feature that shows up for us and makes it so much nicer.
Well,
you set your thresholds, and it's one of these things that works. We've had I've had some issues with our conditional formatting in Power BI before. So I'm excited to try this out and see how this is actually going to work and make sure that it's working. But yeah, we're very excited about seeing this show up in the tenant, and I'm excited to play with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The next item on the list is we've got a new select sensitivity label dialog. And this, from what I understand, it's for when you're saving off your report. Are you going to require a sensitivity label on this particular report? As opposed to just telling you to go and set it before you do anything, it's going to pop up a dialog that lets you set it right at save time.
Yeah, so this is nice. This sort of falls in line with a lot of Purview integration that we're starting to see
seeing a fair bit of that.
You know, Purview's becoming pervasive across the entire stack these days. It's great over in the Office stack, and we're aligning to it as well for the DLP policies with Power BI. So Microsoft Purview is popping up more and more. Speaking of, I can hear Erica Tella over there talking.
She's Purview.
She's here at the show as well, doing all sorts of great stuff. So yeah, we'll have to pick her brain on some of this cool Purview stuff at some point. But yeah, this is nice that we have the ability, you know, the data loss prevention policy updates. You can report an issue, you can do an override, and you can, there's a report and override set of functionality here now as well.
And so basically, if data loss policies are turned on and it detects something anomalous in your data set and it gets flagged, it's going to allow you to request an override or at least to report an issue without reporting. So maybe you can get that corrected.
Yeah.
So because it doesn't always get it right.
Yeah, so your admin will get notified of the change. Like if you do an override on it, you can report an issue to the admin, which is really nice. Like this, that way you say, hey, we found credit card numbers in this.
Yeah.
That probably is not supposed to happen.
Probably a bad idea at exposing them, yes.
Yeah, so maybe we should do something about that. So the next one here is the new metrics visual.
Yeah.
And this is Power BI metrics.
Yes, Power BI metrics. What do you mean? It's Power BI goals, right?
Power BI metrics. It's not goals anymore, John.
Yeah, I know. But Power BI's metrics, we've had this visual in the service for a little while now, and now it comes to desktop.
Yeah.
So when you're designing a report, you can embed I hate saying embed a metric, because a metric to me means something in a report. That's why I'm getting crusty.
Yes, but, you are. That's okay.
You can embed your OKR. How's that?
Yeah.
You can put the OKR directly in your report and publish it. So now it's not just for the service anymore. Now you can actually put it as part of your report design workflow.
Yeah, so this allows you to take that existing scorecard or create a new scorecard for metrics and be able to just add it in as another element in your report. You know, mm-hmm. You can blow it up and make it really big, or it can just be yet another element in an existing report that just is a good indicator for you of what's going on.
Exactly. And there's been some changes to the mobile design experience in mm-hmm. Power BI Desktop. And that change basically is that text boxes can now be formatted individually. You've always been able to use a text box from the main report and put it on your mobile report, but you weren't able to change the formatting. And that doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense if you've got, say, a title field and it's got great big font.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to have the same great big font sitting on the mobile device. You can change it. I mean, that's in a nutshell what this is going to give you.
So I'll be honest with you, John. I was waiting for this.
Were you?
I was.
Really?
I built my first mobile report in a really, really, really long time past week.
I saw your Orange Fitness,
yes.
Orange Theory.
I did it on
Orange
Monday.
Cult.
As,
yes.
we were working and we were doing all of our...
Who was working?
Yeah, we were working, John. You might have been doing more work than I was at that particular moment.
But I was having fun.
I did a couple of things in our workshop on Monday. But yeah, it was... I've been waiting for this. This is something I literally... It was a roadblock for me with mobile. You know, I didn't like some of the experience with mobile. And now this unlocked me. And now I use the mobile view on my report because I do use my Orange Theory Fitness data on a daily basis. When I go to the gym, I want to see... But we're in marathon month right now. So I created a report page just to track my status in, because I'm working on an ultra marathon for a month. And
wow.
Yeah, I'm stupid. But that's okay.
That's,
it's 31.1 miles is the Orange Theory
especially down
ultra.
Here in Texas.
Well, it's all indoors, dude. It's,
is it?
Yeah, man. On a treadmill, 2 miles a day.
Wow.
2 miles a day over the course of 30 days.
Okay.
When you go to the gym 24 times, it's really not that hard.
Okay.
So, but I like to look at my numbers. I want to know where I am and the status of everything. So this unroadblocked me. I was able to create my report page for mobile. It's beautiful. It's a really nice experience.
I want to take that weather system that we've built and build that for mobile. I think that'll be pretty cool.
I think it'll be great as soon as you actually get it over to Freedom Units. It'll be be usable.
I'll do that at some point in time for the, you know. Anyway, question about mobile, actually. I don't know if you know off the top of your head. Can you pin a report to the homepage of a phone screen as opposed to having to open the Power BI app and then go to the report? Could you treat a report as an app? If you know what I mean?
I do not know.
That'd be worth checking out.
Yeah.
If not, that's a request.
I think it would depend upon the, you know, I know with iOS, you can do shortcut actions.
Okay.
So
I would think, well,
I
wonder
if record a shortcut action.
So you can just go straight into the report without having to go through all the other goo.
Well, I think it'll do it for, like, the shortcut action would actually do that, those steps for you. But
so I'm going to try that.
It's worth trying. You're
back.
On an Android, I'm on an iPhone.
Yep.
One of us is right, the other one is wrong.
Yeah,
so that's
usually
okay,
me.
Okay. So usually, every blue moon, I am incorrect. So, all right, well, we have come to, we're not going to go there, John. We're going to go to the modeling section here. And for the DAX improvements this time around, we've made some core improvements.
Yeah, nothing specific to call out. They made a bunch of performance improvements under the hood about a month and a half ago, from what I understand.
Uh-huh.
Broke a few things.
Just a little bit.
So those,
you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs,
that's
John.
Right.
You know?
So they've been fixed.
That's
basically it here.
So we our improvements are fixing what was broken. That's good. All right, so we have some updates to some connectors, the MariaDB, Google Sheets. Man, every month it seems like Google Sheets is
always getting updated now, and it wasn't even there a while back.
And maybe it's going to be working right. But the Google Sheets connector has been updated to include a direct link to Google Sheets documentation.
Woohoo.
That's kind
that's
of
a
important.
Big one.
So
well, the next one is actually fairly big. certified connectors are now available for data flows and data marts. Basically, they're available for Power Query Online.
Uh-huh.
That's unlocking like over 80 additional sources for use in Power Query Online. So we're yet another step toward getting toward the complete, you know, web design panacea. And Power Query Online is pretty full-featured at this point in time.
It is.
We just need that modeling story to come
in. Yeah. I don't think it's actually listed here in this service update, John, but there was a whole bunch of updates that came for data marts this month as well. We're going to have, I think that's going to be a different show, man, because
There was a performance, there's this automatic saving. That was the big one for me.
Let's not go into it here.
All right.
We'll tease it. For future listeners to be listening to future episodes.
I got to say, with all these new connectors in the service, I think they might have to do some UI work on choosing a connector.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. That's a really pretty, to me, I like that.
It's about 160 some odd icons sitting on a screen that you got to find the one you're after. I think we're going to have to get to the get data experience.
You may have to create a public report page to be able to see if they're... That'd be helpful.
Ooh, very good idea.
Are you drowning in spreadsheets? Are you gasping for a better reporting solution? Let Marquee Insights throw you a lifeline. They can help you chart a course to success with Power BI, then get underway quickly with one of their quick start solutions while learning the ropes from their experienced staff. If you're ready for reporting bliss, go to marqueeinsights.com and click the Get Started button and learn how they can help you make better, faster decisions with smarter data.
So the next one here is the mobile apps section, mm-hmm. which we don't often get a whole lot in the mobile app section, but follow metrics from your mobile app. So now you can directly follow a metric specifically. It looks like you can just pin them kind of a thing here and be able to follow what you're looking for. And this is in preview, but it looks really nice.
I think it's basically save as favorite, and then you can go see a list of all your favorite metrics, your favorite OKRs.
But it's a specific to a specific metric inside of the metrics tool. So that's cool. Next one here is, you know, for developers.
Yeah,
we don't cover a whole lot usually. But
this is an important one. It's worth calling out because third-party developers of visuals have never had a way to monetize their visual. I mean, they can do some stuff in product. Typically, it's by disabling features and unless you go out and get some kind of a license key that you can enter into the visual.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're able to actually transact a purchase for a third-party visual right within the app source. So you're using a licensing API within Power BI that will enforce it. So that should change the way that's done a fair bit. You'll be able to see it. Of course, you're going to want to have those free visuals for a while, but it should streamline the way that any pay-for visuals are, paid for.
Yeah. And then we come to the visualization section.
Yep.
And as always, we're going to sort of gloss over this just a little bit because we went deep into the developer section there, John. Like, that was pretty deep.
That was pretty deep.
Yeah, man.
That's all there was. Dude, that's all there was.
Yeah, the new visuals and app source this month, there's Video by CloudScope, Video Pro by CloudScope, Collage Next Gen by CloudScope, Collage Pro by CloudScope, and then Info River Charts by Info River. I've been hearing some good things about Info River lately. Something around their matrix and table views.
I don't know anything about it myself.
Pretty nice. I have to check them out. Alex was talking about it to me the other day. The editor's picks of the quarter are Drill Down Time Pro, Box and Whisker Chart by Mac Software, Info River Premium Matrix and Table, maybe that's the one he was talking about. Dynamic KPI Card by Servicio, Play Axis Dynamic Slicer, and Info River Charts. And then there's a whole set of visuals here that you all can go through and see some of the features around all this stuff. Looks like some nice visuals this month, but we're going to sort of gloss past it.
Mm-hmm. It takes us to kind of wrapping up. And the first one is general availability, a general availability story of something we've had in the service for a little while that... It's another one of those quick create features. Like we have the quick visualize the list in SharePoint. Well, there's also a quick visualize a view in Dynamics 365. And that's gone GA. And users can just quickly spin up a view on their data from Dynamics 365. What can I say? With some essentially, I don't want to call them pre-canned reports, but auto-generated reports.
Correct.
Yeah.
So there's a whole dedicated blog post that you can go take a look at for this one. It's more of a Dynamics 365, and that's really not our bag of tricks. So, and then more ways to optimize Power BI performance. A little while ago, we introduced Power BI Desktop that allowed optimization for Power Query execution performance. This month, we're adding settings to influence Power Query engine execution. On top of that, together, these settings enable you to optimize the performance of Power BI while data is getting imported or direct query is being executed. For example, in case of import, where it's taking too long or direct queries performance that are really slow or slowing down the source systems, you can use these settings to optimize performance.
Yeah. So basically, you can see it's parallelization of queries. So how many queries can you have executing at the same time? Mm-hmm. And how much memory can each one of those queries occupy? Mm-hmm. And you can now tweak that. There's a couple ways to do it, but through settings in Power BI desktop settings. And you can actually just go into the registry and tweak them as well. So there's a whole blog post on how to do all of that. So if you wanted to get in there and twist the nuts and bolts and tweak the performance of Power Query, that's going to be while you're doing design work or load work within Power BI desktop. We can go ahead and do that.
Yeah. So, John, what's missing?
What's missing?
Yeah. So we're at the end of the blog post.
We are.
What's missing?
We're missing the update on how they're doing with respect to their promises, aren't we?
Yeah. Just calling it out.
I'm glad I got that one right.
I'm calling a spade here.
Yeah.
We had last month this big thing, and we were all excited that, hey, we're going to start calling it out. Maybe it's not that there's something every
maybe
month.
Maybe nothing changed.
Maybe we didn't have any deadlines change. Maybe there was nothing new that we pulled forward. This did come out pretty quick after the July update.
Yeah.
And again, we've seen a lot of stuff out there for next month.
Yep.
That's in the release plan. So maybe, just maybe, there just wasn't anything there. But it would have been nice to have called it out, I think.
Maybe you should go knock on some doors, knock some heads together.
Yeah, I don't want to call anybody out, but I'm calling this out. I really, really hope. That we follow through on that commitment.
Yep.
That we continue to see that, because that was really nice.
Yep.
Customers
good idea.
Like it.
It's
I
still
like
a good
it.
Idea.
It's a good thing. So hopefully we will see that come back around next month. But John, we do have an extra couple of minutes here. I will encourage people, there are several blog posts out there that we'll cover off in our next episode.
I think so, yeah.
But I just want to put it out there. They're the things that we're not covering off today that are worthy of note that we will go into detail on in the next episode. There was a blog post here, and I'm going to talk about this one because I had I had a hand in this one, looking at July 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Execute queries REST API versus XMLA endpoints at scale.
Okay.
Okay. This actually
comes.
Yeah, this one. So we have an execute queries REST API for mm-hmm. Power BI.
Yeah, I know. That's an important one.
It mm-hmm. is. But it's meant for smaller stuff. It's
okay.
not meant for massive load.
Okay.
It performs well under small loads.
Right.
Okay. There are lots of limitations to this, and we've had to actually go enforce some of these limitations.
Oh,
because
really?
We put it out there, and we didn't enforce some of the limitations. Now, we can call that a bug. We can call that a bug. Like, you know. But there
just
were,
call it a lack of foresight.
Oh, there were definitely some things out here that we should have done differently or better when we put this out there. But Kai, I worked pretty closely with Kai on this, and it was really cool to see how we came around to the right answers on these things. The Execute Queries API is great, again, for small stuff. You're getting stuff back. And
when you say small stuff, is it uncomplicated queries or smaller data models?
Smaller data sets,
okay.
From a return perspective. So
okay.
the number
okay.
of queries, so, you can only, a user can only make 120 queries per minute.
Okay.
To the Execute Queries
That's
API.
That's a rate limit.
Yeah.
Okay.
After that, you get a 429.
Is there a volume limit as well?
There actually is, John.
Okay.
So there's documented limits on all of these things. The Execute Queries API restricts query results to 100,000 rows or 1,000,000 values per query, whichever comes first.
But, I mean, so I work with Kusto all the time, right?
Uh-huh.
And that, by default, restricts, or log analytics, that restricts it to 500,000
uh-huh.
per query. You can't get any more rows back than that. And theoretically, I mean, if you're querying the endpoint of a data set, you're going to be querying aggregated data. So if you're just using this to go and try and get raw data, you're using it wrong.
Yeah. So the correct answer to all of this, though, is not that you can't do it. There's no way to get this data. That's not the answer.
No.
The answer is the XMLA endpoint.
Okay. Oh,
you
there's
can
another,
absolutely
okay.
go off and do...
Right. And there's no limits to that thing? Fewer limits.
There are fewer limits. There are limits based upon...
Or more permissive limits.
Yes. So,
okay.
But the limitations are definitely... less granular.
Okay.
Let's call it that. But that's the right way to go about doing it. And there's been lots of performance improvements leading to that and driving people more that way. And we've been seeing that happen.
So you're
finding people are cutting over from the Execute Queries API to the XMLA endpoint
yeah.
and seeing much better performance than what they were expecting.
Well, it depends on what your use case is. If you're embedding in an application, you're obviously going to want to call the REST API. But if you're trying to use the REST API for just tooling, et cetera. No, it's got to be the wrong way
to
do
it. Well, but even better to go XML endpoint. If you're trying to pull larger amounts of data, you're trying to do more queries, that's the reality. You have to take a look at the limitations on this thing.
Got it.
It's a REST API. It fits in with the standards for REST APIs for the most part.
Yeah.
But XMLA doesn't have those. Like, there's not a concurrency limit that you're going to run into there.
I don't want to be on the receiving end of a JSON blob that's 100,000 records either.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to take a while.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So performance issues, things like that. So they're definitely worth taking a look at Kai's very good blog post about this.
Cool.
Back from July 18th. So I just wanted to call it out because we hadn't actually talked about it here on the show. And I'm really proud of the work that got done around that. Really, really good stuff.
Cool.
The other things that are worthy of note, we do recognize that there are, and we talked about it a little bit already, big announcements around the DataMart's query editor changes. We're going to go into detail on that next episode, along with some of these other cool things that have been coming up. We'll start to get back to a weekly cadence as quick as we can.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. But with that, John, I think it's time to wrap up because we still have a session to go do.
We do. We do. We'll be on in something around an hour from now.
All right, buddy. Well, good to talk with you, and we'll talk to you on the next one.
See you on the next one.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bifocal Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or via your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Twitter at Bifocal Show. The show notes for this and all of the Bifocal podcasts can be found on the Bifocal.show blog. The music for the Bifocal podcast is Indie Rock by Scott Holmes and is shared under Creative Commons.